Would you open your Bible in Psalm 34? Psalm 34. This psalm has quite a deep root inside of me. You know, the word of the Lord is alive and active and powerful. Amen? And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it separates what is spirit and what is soul. And the spirit of man, the Bible says, it's like the lamp, is the lamp of the Lord by which he searches the inner depths of our motivations. And I love the word. I have it on my mobile phone and I listen to it. I listen to it all the time. And it feeds me, it enlightens me, it cleanses me, it washes me. What does it mean to be washed spiritually? That means thoughts that would be ungodly, you don't have them. And thoughts that are godly, you have them. And I like the thoughts of my heart to be pleasing to God. As David said in Psalm 19. And I like the word of God to live in me, to be active in me, and to keep me in a clarity with God. I like to live clean. I used to pray and cry out to God for mercy because I felt unclean. Now I pray and cry out for mercy because I like to stay clean. Do you see the difference? I used to bathe because I was dirty. Now I bathe to stay clean. Do you see the difference? When you just come to the Lord in the beginning years, often you come and cry out to the Lord because you have thoughts and feelings that are not right. And that you discern them is a sign of salvation. That you feel repentant of them is a work of salvation. That you feel sorry and want to turn away from them, don't want them anymore, is a work of salvation. But salvation will keep on working to the point where you're living on the opposite side. Yes? I mean, I read scriptures like this. Look at this. And how do you find them? It's the Holy Spirit that brings them to you. I mean, this is, see? I mean, for me to underline in red, all the words of Jesus are in red. That's why I underline in red. But underlining is not enough. So I put arrows towards it. But that's not enough. I put wows now. One wow or two wows or three wows. That's a serious wow. So this has two wows. And it has four arrows. Okay? I don't know what else to do to accentuate it to me. To make it jump out to me. Do you like things to jump out to you? I do. I want things to jump out to me. What do you want to jump out to you? I want the Holy Ghost to jump out to me. I want the living word to jump out to me. I want the goodness of God to jump out to me. So I read this. Listen. A backslider in his heart from God and from fearing God shall be filled with the fruit of his own ways. Ouch. And a good man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his ways. Listen now. With the holy thoughts and actions which his heart prompts and in which he delights. A good man shall be satisfied with his ways, with the holy thoughts and actions which his heart prompts in which he delights. I read that. And I thank the Lord for good thoughts that come from my heart, holy thoughts, holy actions in which I delight. Oh, I like to live in satisfaction. I like to live satisfied. I find being moody, complaining, unhappy, a low nature. It used to be my nature. Now it's a low nature. And I don't want to live low. I like to live high in the Lord. Amen. And folks, what used to be normal to you now is stranger, is a stranger. What used to be a stranger to you is your heart and your mind. And the next verse I'm going to read to you, Psalm 34, lives deep in my heart. It's amazing when the word lives in you, how God employs it at the time you need it to defend you, uphold you, strengthen you, protect you, heal you, restore you, clarify your mind, strengthen you in your actions, help you to not make the wrong choices, but to make the right choices. It helps you reason within your own heart. Reason within your own heart. Folks, many people can't reason within their own heart. We need to be able to reason within our own heart. Contemplate, meditate, think about it. And then you meditate on it, think about it, you go, no, I don't feel the weakness of God in this. No, I'm not going to do this. See? Help you be a person of discretion. Help you be a person of integrity. David said, Lord, let your integrity and discretion be my bodyguards. I used to not be like this. I was a dummy, to say the least. I was the fool of the book of Proverbs. But Jesus has become wisdom unto me. I used to just blurt out my feelings. The Bible says in Proverbs, a fool speaks all his heart. But a wise man considers his thoughts. Christ has become wisdom unto me. He's changed the way I am, the way I act. I used to be a hothead, angry. When my brother and I would do sword fights with the broomstick, my brother knew, hit him on the hand, he will become hysterically angry and can't see anymore, and I can just whack him to kingdom come. Because my anger would cause me to close my eyes, and he would lick me. Because he had this braininess about him. I had just all feeling. We were playing dartboard. You know, we were throwing these darts on the wall over there. And we had made spears out of broomsticks. You know, when you use a knife and cut the end into a spear and try to throw it in there. So I went to the wall to get my dart out of the wall. He threw his dart, and it went right into my knuckle here. And he starts laughing, and he comes running over, and he pulls it out. And it's, you know, and then when he pulled it out, it hurt so much that my reaction was whack into his cheek. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's in the Bible. You got to start somewhere. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So you got to shed his blood if you want forgiveness. True story. Then he looked at me with his eyes when I hit him in the face, and that scared me, and I ran off. Then he grabbed the broomstick, the spear, and he said, Robert, and threw it, and it hit right into my head right here. I mean, I was a fool if you ever knew one. But I don't throw darts anymore and spears, and I don't need you to shed your blood to forgive you. I've changed. I've got saved. Jesus lives in my heart. Are you serious? It's a true story. I mean, I was choking my brother one time because he irritated me. You know, I don't do that anymore. I've changed. Are you serious? Yes, I was a fool. But Christ has become wisdom unto me. Just because you were born a fool doesn't mean you have to stay one. Just because you're born an angry person doesn't mean you have to stay one. Just because you're born driven with all kinds of passions of lust doesn't mean you have to stay that way. I suffered horribly with those kinds of attacks of lust. I walk free. I walk holy. I walk clean. I love my wife with a pure heart for the last 34 years. Adultery is not my master. And I'm not talking about adultery of sleeping with somebody else. I'm talking about adultery of heart, where you look at everybody else. I'm free. I can look at you and look at you with a pure heart. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus sets us free. We were in the hospital. Really what I'm talking about tonight, boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. My wife had an ulcer because I had such a temper. I would never touch her with that kind of heart ever again. Jesus took it out of me. It's not in me. Can't bear it. I watch Sound of Music and I start crying. I can't watch any evil film. Can't bear it. Jesus has transformed my heart. What I'm talking about tonight is boast in the Lord. We were in the hospital. The doctor came in and said that the baby in Virginia's womb, when she was 9 months pregnant, about to give birth, had no arms, no legs, and had growths all over its head. And would we like them to take it away? And Virginia said to the doctor, no, that's our baby. He called it a fetus, we called it our baby. He said, in that case, I can't help you, and walked out of the hospital as hard and as totally insensitive as anybody could be. We stood there as if somebody had just punched us. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and tears flooded down her cheeks. And I said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be upon my lips. My soul makes its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, how good it is when the word of God lives in your heart and guides you in the dark nights and leads you when you don't know where to go and how to go through it. So David here in Psalm 34 says, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. All times. If we could just learn this by the grace of God. And I say by the grace of God. I couldn't bless the Lord when I didn't get what I wanted. I couldn't bless the Lord if you crossed me and betrayed me. That school I stayed in for so long before I finally got my diploma. The school of injustice. Oh my goodness, how long did I stay in that school before I finally got my diploma? What's your diploma? Jesus. The Bible says, in his suffering, justice was denied him. Every time I suffered injustice, I could not get a hold of my temper. My temper just took over. And it took the Lord a long time to teach me to be able to bless him at all times. My soul makes its boast in the Lord before you tonight. I hope you can see that. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. I told you this once. I cannot bear in this country the abuse of authority when they give you parking tickets when you don't deserve it. So, oh my goodness. And I kept getting these parking tickets. And my wife would look at me and say, darling, how many tickets do you need to get before you learn your lesson? I know what you're talking about. Just leave me alone for a moment. I'm trying to subdue death. I'm trying to overcome. I want to kill him. Just a moment. There's a moment. I'll get over it in just a moment. But hey, you don't have authority over it when you act. Right? And what did I get? Another ticket. And all of a sudden I thought, Robert, this is ridiculous. This is not healthy. You're giving the devil a place he doesn't deserve. You're letting him use 35 pounds to overcome you. You're ready to burn down the whole nation over 35 pounds and start a new nation. Is this your golden calf? Is this what you worship? And I repented. Sometimes, folks, you've got to stop justifying yourself by accusing somebody else. You've got to say, my response to this does not honor the cross upon which Jesus suffered for the whole world. I am really giving the devil a place he doesn't deserve. And I had to repent. Sometimes you have to just go back to the old-fashioned gospel and repent. Hello. Not the Lord give you more mercy. No, you need to look that ugly behavior and ugly response in the eyes and say, this is ungodly and unrighteous and unholy, and that does not belong in me. And I had to do that with Robert. And I went on my knees and I said, Father, I repent of this. I'm not asking you anymore to protect me from getting tickets. I'm asking you to change my heart. And I never got another ticket. Isn't that amazing? When you stop giving the devil your address, he doesn't know how to find you. Hello? Has he got your address? So I boast in the Lord that I'm free from tickets. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Why would you think that that says it that way? Because do you know it irritates some people when you have a spirit that does not react and just holds in God and just is meek and gentle and gracious and kind? I want to be somebody that when I see somebody else having their boast in the Lord, it moves me. It moves me in almost to tears that I think, wow, Lord, I love to see your nature in them. I love to see what you've accomplished in them. I love to see how you have liberated them and freed them. I love to see, Lord, what you have done. I like to see your handiwork. I don't like to see the work of the devil. I don't like to relish when somebody gets angry and kills somebody. And I'm going, yeah, kill him, kill him, get him, get him, get him. I don't want to rejoice in evil. I want to rejoice in good. I want to rejoice in meekness and gentleness and lowliness, in generosity, in patience, in goodness, in love, in joy. I don't want to rejoice in evil, in hatred, in bitterness, in lust, in ungodliness, unholiness, because in whatever you boast exposes the desires of your own heart. Whatever you look at and it connects with you, it shows what lives in you. No. Yes. Look at this verse I found in Proverbs 27, verse 21. I'll read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Wow. Proverbs 27, verse 21. As the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold brings forth all the impurities of the metal, so let a man be in his trial of praise, ridding himself of all that is base and insincere. For a man is judged by what he praises and of what he boasts. Proverbs 27, verse 21 in the Amplified. A man is judged by what he praises and in what he boasts. What is it that captivates your heart? What is it that you still talk about and it has your memory? It has your thoughts. It has a trigger of pleasure, a trigger of delight in you. When I think of Psalm 34, I see her standing in that hospital and speaking those words, and the Holy Spirit filled that room, and the glory of God was all over us in that journey when our daughter Gabriella was born and went to heaven 11 days later. My boast is in the Lord, who led me through the valley of the shadow of death, and I feared no evil, for he was with me. My boast is in the Lord, because he saved me and delivered me out of a horrible pit and put my feet upon a solid rock. My boast is in the Lord, because he's put a different song of delight in my heart. I no longer delight in uncleanness, unholiness, in hurting somebody who hurt me, but I delight in mercy. I delight in forgiveness. Oh, it makes me so happy. I had somebody who had been so evil towards me, you can't imagine it. And I had to endure it for 7 years. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call from that very person. And that person said, do you think that there's forgiveness for me? And I tell you the truth, as if I physically came off of the ground, the glory of the Lord came all over me. And I said, it is my greatest privilege to say your record is clear. All is forgiven, no charge. Jesus paid it all. And I keep thinking about this in my life. What a joy and a privilege it is to boast in the Lord who has forgiven all my iniquities and all my transgressions. Folks, we want to boast and praise in mercy and in goodness, not in, you know, those people. Remember what they did to us? See what's happening with them now? Well, there you get it, you know. And your character's just been exposed, that you're a man of vengeance and retribution. And what you give will come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken in the gutter, running over. And then you wonder why your children are so angry with you and don't want to come home anymore. Because they cannot bear that spirit of condemnation and judgment anymore. But if you have boasted in the Lord, and your children have grown up and they saw how merciful you were, they saw how gracious you were, people that wounded you. They saw how happy you were when the reconciliation came. And they have tasted the goodness of the Lord in your home. And they have seen what God has accomplished. They want to be like you. And they'll tell you when you're older, oh, Mom, it's okay. God is at work here. He'll transform their hearts, Mom. They didn't mean it. Let's just cover it in love. And you hear yourself talking through the heart of your own children. And what you hear gives glory to God, gives praise to God. And you say, me and my house, we will. Not the devil. You know what a man boasts? What a man praises, judges his character. I want to boast in the Lord, in what he's done for me. A young man, and I've told you this once before, oh, it was a long time ago now, about maybe 12 years ago, said to me, oh, Robert, can you help me? I get so tormented with pornography, and I prayed, and I confessed the word, and I'm looking up scriptures, but I can't shake it, and I sit there for hours watching it, and every day I ask God to forgive me, and every day I do it again, and I don't know what else to do. And I felt such a moving of God's love in me, it almost overwhelmed me. And I put my arm around him and I said, oh, thank you, Father, that you love him so much. I said, it's okay, son. Jesus took it all. And he wrote me later that he didn't understand what happened, but it's gone. It's just gone. He took away our sin. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I will boast in the Lord. And when your children have grown up with that, and when your husband has tasted that consistently, I guarantee you the Lord will bring it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. When your wife has been fed with the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, I guarantee you the Lord will bring it back to you. In what you boast, you will relish and rejoice. Boast in the Lord, I say to you today. Boast in the Lord, in what he has done and what he is doing. I will boast in the Lord. I'm not going to act like the devil's all-powerful and always be talking about him. I'm going to talk about Jesus is all-powerful, almighty, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I will give the glory to God at all times. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. And Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. His ministry lasted about 55 years. In a very difficult time when Israel was having to enter into judgment because of their many years of iniquity and transgression. And Jeremiah had to minister during that difficult time. And while all judgment was busting loose upon the people, he spoke these words. You see, we can sometimes be spiritual in what we value in a spiritual moment. But we want to be able to be spiritual in a dark moment, in a difficult moment. I'll never forget. Listen to this. I went to go visit my mom and dad because all hell was coming against them. Somebody had stirred up the government against my parents. Somebody had stirred up the police against my parents, had said that my father was hiding all kinds of secret papers in the house, and they were stacking all kinds of money in the house, and that they all these horrible things. 29 police officers with gun broke the front door of my house, my mother's house, while my father was on the mission trip, and raided the house to find all those papers and all that money when there was nothing there. Not even a 5-pound note. And my mother was going through all of this persecution, and I went to go see her. And she said something I will never forget. She said to me, this is about 30 years ago, she said to me, "Robert, but these people don't understand, you cannot kill what is eternal." And she was talking about the life they were living, my mom and papa. They knew the life they were living was not their own, but was a gift of God. They knew that the life they had came from the throne of grace. My mama made her boast in the Lord in the most poignant time. So in the most poignant time, the most hottest moment, Jeremiah said these words. Thus says the Lord, verse 23 of chapter 9. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." Jeremiah said to all these people, or God is saying to them, do not cling to your sense of wisdom and intelligence in times when all that's going to help you is the Lord. Do not cling to your prominent power and influence in time when all you've got is the Lord. He's not saying it's wrong to be wise or to be mighty. He said, and you that have great wealth, do not cling to that as your security. But he's not saying it's wrong to have great wealth. And I say this on purpose this way, because some people swing the pendulum in such a way that is not right either. No, the Lord wants us to have his spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, knowledge in the fear of the Lord, so that we don't judge by what we see or hear, but by his spirit. God wants us to have the power of his might so that we may stand firm in an evil day. God wants us to have provision over and above what we have need, so we have plenty to give to others. But he does not want us to boast in those things. He wants us to boast in the joy of knowing him, recognizing him, perceiving him, acknowledging him. My charge to you today in the Lord Jesus Christ is boast in the Lord. If any man should boast, let him boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Boast in the Lord. If you had to sit down right now, you had to sit down before the Lord, and the Lord says, okay, come on, lovey, sit here before me and tell me what I've done for you. Come on, son, sit here. Talk to me. Tell me what I've done for you. Tell me who I am to you. Tell me what I am to you. I was one day sitting in that chair when we had gone through a very challenging valley. Very challenging valley. And the Lord brought us out of that valley. He brought us out of it. And Virginia looked at me, my wife, and she said to me, "Darling, what does it feel like to be out of this enormous valley?" I said, you know, I just don't have this yet, that I'm just rejoicing, I'm out. All I could think about is how God's kept me in the valley and how he's upheld me and not failed me. And all I can think about is how great is his faithfulness and how he's been so merciful that I'm here and alive today to tell about what he's done for me. It's a wonderful thing to come through, but I think it's greater to give God the praise while you're going through. It's when the marriage was impossible and you said, Lord, this marriage belongs to you. It's when the children were in the world and didn't want to know about God that you say, Lord, all my children are taught of you. They belong to you and not the world, and I will not hand them over. I'm not going to treat them like strangers. I'm going to keep treating them like my children and like your children. I'm going to keep loving them because you loved me while I was yet a sinner. I'm going to do for them what you've done for me. I'm going to praise you, Lord, when it looks impossible. I'm going to boast in you when it's not happening because I believe, Lord, that you're able to make it happen. I want to charge you in the Lord Jesus Christ, boast in the Lord. Come on, think about it. Boast in the Lord. I believe that Abraham walked past Sarah ever so often and say, oh, my darling, junga, 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 gonna have a lot of kiddies. Dollar looking at, you know, Sarah looking back at him, say, honey, I'm 85 years old. What are you thinking about? I'm believing. I'm giving God the praise. You don't want to grow old? Give God the praise. You want to grow old? Oh, it never happened. It didn't come to pass. You know, I believed God, but it didn't happen. I trusted God, but it didn't work. You know, you want to grow old? Talk that way. You want to stay strong and young in the Lord? Give God the praise. One of the best ways to renew your strength and to renew your youth is to give God the praise and all the glory. Amen. And some of us, we need to just decide, hey, I'm going to put on the garment of praise for all of this heaviness. I'm not going to serve this heaviness anymore. I'm going to not just talk about what isn't yet. I'm going to start thanking God for what he has done. I'm thanking the Lord for what he has done. I look at my grandchildren. My goodness, I'm so blessed. I sit down with my sons. I've sat down with Joshua and Zachary. Joshua is 32 and Zachary is 28. I sat down with them for lunch. 32 or 33. Anyway, somewhere up there. 89 makes him 32. Anyway. No. 84. He was born in 84. Hello. 89. Yeah, whatever now. Anyway, he was born in 84, Joshua. So I'm sitting with Joshua and Zachary. And I said to them, okay, boys, just a moment. I just need to say something to you. If I happen to go to heaven anytime, and you know of somebody that's really been cruel or evil towards us, for you to hold it against them after I'm gone would honor me but dishonor me. But for you to love them, bless them, and not hold it against them would honor me. Remember that. That's like Jesus saying on the cross, Father, do not charge them. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We all leave something behind, folks. I pray that what you leave behind encourages others to want to worship God, want to love God, want to please God, want to acknowledge God. I read something one time that really took a hold of my heart, to praise the Lord at all times. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy went to the concentration camp for helping to hide Jews from the Nazis during the Second World War. They had smuggled a little Bible into the concentration camp and were having a Bible study every week with all the people in that bunk, a couple of hundred of them. And the guards did not come into their bunks. Why? Because it was infested with fleas. But they didn't know that. But Betsy kept telling Corrie, thank God for the fleas. And Corrie would say to Betsy, honey, you're going too far here. Let's not thank God for the fleas, but pray for them to go away. She said, no, I will praise the Lord in everything. I thank him for everything. I thank God for the fleas. I praise you, Father. Thank you for these fleas. And Corey thought that Betsy went too far. But God was using the fleas to keep the guards out. So I don't know what fleas are in your life, but stop complaining. Stop complaining. And start praising the Lord. And start worshiping the Lord. Why? But you don't understand these fleas. They bite me and they irritate me. Well, maybe you need to grow in grace a bit. Maybe you need to stop getting these tickets. You know what I'm talking about? You really can't stop. It's amazing. When you stop giving the devil your address, he won't be able to find you. Did you know one time somebody had wounded my heart? And I had forgiven them. Oh, I remembered vividly. I could see it in my spirit. 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up before the Lord. Jesus walked on water at 3 a.m. It's a good time to come to God about something very serious. I went before the Lord. I said, Father, he was yours. He is yours. I give him to you. And I thank you for your peace and grace upon him and bless him and guide him. And Lord, don't worry about anything that wasn't so nice. You bore it all. And you give me the power to bear it too. And I was feeling the anointing all over me when I prayed that. True story. But then I kept being visited with hate. Now, that's something that I haven't had to fight in my life. But I had to fight against hate. And the Bible says, he who hates is still in darkness. He who hates is a son of the devil. So I think, no, I will not hate. I will not hate. I'm a child of God. So I'd resist it, and it would go away. And it'd come back, and resist it, and go away. For 2 years. That's way too long for us to fight with something. 2 years. I'll never forget it. I was preaching in California at a church. 3 a.m. I wake up and that hate is right there. And while it's right there wanting to torment me with feelings that are evil and thoughts that are evil, I spoke to the Lord. David says in Psalm 39, when my enemy was before me, I was like a mute, like a dead man. I opened up my mouth, but I spoke to the Lord. Psalm 39. And I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, how is it possible when I'm hidden in your bosom, Colossians 3 verse 4, that this hate is able to find me? What is it, Lord, in me that's sending out the signal? And the Lord spoke to me on the spot, and he said, don't feel he owes you. And when he spoke that, he went into me and took it out of me. And the hate never came again. Listen, so I later on was thinking, what do you mean I feel he owed me, right? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit helped me understand what God was showing me and teaching me through this trial. Because the pain that I was feeling, what did I not do for him? What did I not give him? I would have given him everything and more. What did I not do? That was my pain. Where did I fail? In other words, he owes me. And friends, sometimes we don't realize it, but we're struggling with something that's keeping the door open. And the Lord says, come on, my child, trust me. And the Lord shuts the door to the enemy. And we come out of that time. And we make our boast in the Lord that we're now full of love and full of mercy. And people look at us and say, how can you be so gracious? How can you be so patient and so kind? How can you not be angry about this? You say, it's the Lord. Be still, for the presence of the Lord. Glory on is here. Come on, sing it. Now with reverence and fear. we stand. We stand on holy ground. In Him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord. Begin to boast in the Lord, how everything changes. Everything changes. I mean that. If you can make your boast in the Lord, that your heart is kept clean and holy and undefiled, it's amazing how all that uncleanness is not able to touch you anymore, torment you anymore, hurt you anymore. It's amazing when you can make your boast in the Lord that hate or bitterness or unforgiveness can't touch you anymore. Can you hear me? It's amazing when you are free and you can make your boast in the Lord instead of, Lord, you know, I want this car, I want this, I want that. And you can just be free and say, Father, I'm so happy, I'm so thankful, I'm so satisfied, I lack nothing, I want nothing. You are more than enough for me, Lord. You are my joy. You are my satisfaction. You are my delight. And then God begins to give you those things. It's amazing. Delight in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Trust also in Him and He will do it. Commit your way to the Lord. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the morning sunshine. Father, we want to worship You and You only. We want to praise You. We want our whole life to be a fragrance of praise and glory to You. We want our children and our family to look at us and say, wow, look what the Lord has done for them. The mercies of the Lord and loving kindness of God are all over them. Come on, if you say, Father, I want to be a testimony of Your mercy. I want to boast in You. I want to praise You. Lift one or two hands up to heaven. Father, I praise You. No more complaining, no more negative attitude, but Your glory, Your praise is my garment. Is my garment, Lord. I'm clothed with it. I'm clothed with it. I'm clothed with glory and praise. In Him no sin is found. I'm standing. We stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes you have to stay in the Lord's presence until He becomes your boast, until He becomes your praise. I'm so thankful that the Lord has brought me into that place where I just boast in Him by my marriage, my children, my children's children, the church. Coming here and being with You, I feel so happy in the Lord. I have to do work so hard not to just want to sit there and weep because I feel such a richness among You, such a goodness among You. I feel such a love of God on this work, on this ministry, on Ben and Amanda and their family. And I know sometimes they feel attacks of the enemy, but I tell you the truth, the favor of God is on this household. The favor of God is on this ministry. The presence of the Lord is so rich here, so wonderful here. The boast of the Lord is here. God is boasting about you. God is so excited about what He's doing here and what He's fulfilling here. I want you to be encouraged. Put your roots down. Strengthen yourself in the work God's given you here. Don't be double-minded if you should be here or not. Be committed, be dedicated, work hard, and let the Lord give you the increase. I tell you, rivers will come forth where you are doing your work, and favor will come forth where you are doing your work, and God will begin to give you the increase. Don't worry, says the Lord, if it is but small, but do not despise small beginnings. For I see, says the Lord, the work that it is mine, and I will bless it, and I will prosper it, and I will give it success. And you will not be sorry that the good work I've begun, because I will bring it to fullness. And the Lord bless you, and the Lord prosper you, in Jesus' anointed name.